All I heard was BF, so I guess it's Dakota's out there this morning. Got to work today? That's a bummer. Good morning, W8RCY.
Good morning. Yes, I forgot that today is a holiday.
So you're actually going in today, or you forgot and you're, like, turning around?
No, I'm going in. Private sector doesn't recognize bank holidays.
Yeah, I never had a job with a company that did that for us, you know, bank holidays, things like that. It's not just, you know, the person's day, MLK, President's Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day. Veterans got me because my father was a World War II veteran and stuff, and, you know, he's interned at Arlington, so veterans now that I'm older means more to me than it did as a kid growing up, but I don't know, but how they make this work. But my management company here has a four-day weekend for it. They had Friday off for it as well, but they also had, you know, 5 days off for Christmas and New Year's. So, well, they had to work a half a day New Year's Eve, but they had Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Works Monday and Tuesday, and then they had half a day, like I said, and that. So they're getting a lot of time off. I'm in the wrong job.
I don't know if it's the positions I've held or the companies I work for, but it's been federal holidays, and that's it. I've never gotten anything outside of the typical Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day. That's it.
I remember in 74, 75, when I first started working for Farmer Jack's, we were closed on Mother's Day on Sunday. And then again, the store hours were only like 12 to 5 back in those days as well. So, or they were just starting to get to normal business hours on Sunday, somewhere in that transition. But I remember, like you said, the traditional holidays, but things like Mother's Day, they were closed on Mother's Day, which was kind of crazy. But, I guess they had to do it for good old mom, but that's about it here. So I've been gone for 4 days, and did I miss anything? I read on Discord something about the dish, and I saw some pictures about it, but I didn't, do any input or anything. I just know that it kind of broke really bad. So other than that, did I miss anything besides cold weather and snow?
No, not that I can think of. Monitoring that a bit on Saturday when they're working on it. But it sounds like it's going to be a little more involved than I thought, which is a bummer, but I think Sean kind of knew that going into it. Other than that, it was status quo, just a little bit of radio here and there. Nothing crazy. I don't think there are any new news or events coming up, so we're good. Welcome back. Sean and I are still kind of briefly discussing the repeated situation at my house, how we're going to do that. Very high for like a month. I don't know why. I tried putting different types of engines on there, tried to reboot it for different things. And
I think you're in the dead zone because you kind of like faded out. You got scratchy, then you faded out, then you dropped off. So hopefully I'm not, you know, stepping on you right now, but I'm home, got home around 1 o'clock this morning. I haven't been to bed yet. I've been doing laundry and things like that, just getting stuff, because I got to fly back Wednesday night, and another 4 days, and then that's it till March. Got one in March, two over the summer, and then one in late September, early October, and I'm done. I am done doing this. I'm getting too old. That and, like I've said before, 24-hour race to start the season, and everything is starting fresh and, coming to a total accumulation of the 24-hour race. I know by a week from today I am going to be dead for sure. But, Other than that, down there, the weather was nice. We had some rain and, you know, 50, 60. We almost hit 70 Saturday, but it was overcast. And, yep, just a bunch of shakedowns and formalities. Rules and regulations will be set for the race this week. That'll be discussed on Thursday with all the race teams. And they call it balance of performance. It's when you got four different classes of race cars and you try to get them running as close as you can and make it fair for everybody. Yeah, the big prototypes, they have the advantage, but the GT class, which is your basic regular cars that are modified, they got to have some fair play, so that's what that's all about. Nobody likes it, but, you know, IMSA's been doing it for so long that they pretty much got it dialed in.
See if I'm getting out now. I heard you on your transmission. I just could not get out at all. I got stuck at the light sound.
Well, you're coming across now a little crackly, but you're definitely making it. I mean, it's not interfering with anything as you were saying in your previous conversation where you just basically just, you know, piddled out, so to speak. And then I didn't know if you dropped or something happened, and so I just waited a few extra seconds before I keyed up.
No, it was me. Climbing up. Figure something out for this area because there's just no coverage. It's bad until I get 6-7 miles south of town.
So you basically got to be what, south of 23 mile in Van Dyke?
No, I've got to be right about 37 mile road, I would say, is when I can just really hammer Romeo when it sounds crystal clear. Anything north of that is spotty, crackly. I'm on Richmond right now. It's basically from my house until pretty much right where I'm at now, which is almost 37-mile road. Both repeaters are in a dead spot. So that's why I'm trying to get something out of my house and go that way, because this whole area is going to be that much of my hill.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if you're in another low spot or bad spot, but it's starting to get crackly again. But, you know, you're on, so you start out on Romeo, and then you go to Richmond, and then you basically come over to Mount Clemens, I guess, right? So you go through three repeaters on your trip?
Usually start on Richmond, then run that until I'm close enough to Romeo, and then I run that until, like, 26-mile road. And then I'll switch to Warren, but Warren's not there, so then I switch to Detroit. And then once I get towards work, probably Hayes-ish, I'll switch to UMB and Mount Clemens and then reverse that on the way home. So everything from Romeo down is money. I'm in solid. Everything sounds good. It's just out by me. There's no coverage, so it sounds like crap. I'm always crackling. Just too far from the repeaters, and it's weird terrain. It's my house is up high, but everything else around me is low on the way out.
Okay, I got, you know, like basically the first time I've ever asked how many, you know, repeaters that you are, despite Warren being down right now, how many that you would go through, and you're still able to get to Detroit and UMP, so that's still a stretch for Detroit, but you're still quite impressive to do it, so I was always wondering exactly how many you were in the exact order. I thought it was Romeo, then Richmond, but I guess it's Richmond, then Romeo. I got those two mixed up. I don't know. I haven't been out those ways in such a long time. The only part of anytime I get north now of basically like 26 mile out there where Wally lives and stuff, is when I'm heading out 94 to go towards, you know, Port Huron, Forester, places like that. I don't go up the Van Dyke. That's one thing I haven't done in a while, is gone up the Van Dyke corridor. Or occasionally I've taken M19 to go up to 46 and then over to Forester. But, yeah, some of those routes I haven't been on in, God, decades. And I mean decades. Did I say decades? W-A-R-C-Y.
Yeah, it's east side. It's north, but it's east. Even when I was in Armada, that was east of me. This commute is really what made me, you know, and today I'm on my, quote, compromised setup. I don't have my big antenna. I got that little mag mount 16-inch with my bag radio. So imagine doing this on an HD. It was super frustrating. Basically wouldn't key up until I got to 34-mile road because I just didn't have the juice.
Well, you're past the point of problems, but now you're on the road to riches, so to speak, and on your way to the office, because now you're solid. So it's going to, I guess it's going to be smooth sailing the rest of the way. But so anyway, but yeah, I'm just slap happy right now. I got in this morning and I just haven't been to bed yet, and I'm just like, you know, this place was buttoned up for 4 days. Kind of smells a little funky in here, but at the same time, it was ice cold because I shut the heater off, and took a while for that. Took a while for my place to warm up a little bit, but yeah, it's coming along. I'll just repack tomorrow and then leave Wednesday night. But yeah, it's just me. It's just I got to get some sleep and some R&R. I didn't sleep well these 4 days. I usually sleep good. I mean, we're in a nice hotel. But it's just the fact that, I don't know, I guess too many people were partying. You know, some of these guys, the younger generation of people and staff and stuff like that, they want to play cards all hours of the night, and they're in other rooms and so on and so forth. And us seniors, we're just not accustomed to that.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm not a senior. And I'm not accustomed to that. I don't know what it is. I do not like being up late at hotels. The last hotel I stayed in was Vegas, so that's a different story. You're up all night anyway. But I do not care to party in hotel rooms ever again.
Well, they weren't really whooping it up more than just being loud. You know, some guys play cards. Some guys do their study manuals because of the rule changes in the rule book. I do that so I can, you know, I like getting about maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was nonstop, and, you know, I mean, sure, I do get breaks, yes, I do get chances to take breaks, and we do have enough personnel down there that you can almost, if you get back to your hotel room, get at least a 6 to 8 hours time period in, but when the race comes around, Saturday afternoon to Sunday afternoon nonstop, 2 to 2. Yeah, we do get breaks. You know, it's not just, you know, bathroom breaks or anything like that, or cigarette breaks, but it's just an actual, they give you an hour or two off and just to relax your mind because you're watching monitors, charts, and, you know, you're not only, you have everything's electronic now, you know, timing and scoring is all electronic, but you still have to have backups in case the timing and scoring goes down. So if the electronics goes down, you actually got to keep a logbook, and so it's just crazy. And but 30 out of 33 years I did it, and this is definitely going to be my last year. I already told them. I said the only reason why I'm back is because we're doing Road America, and I want to do an endurance race at Road America. So, and that's in July, I think, or August. I can't remember off the schedule, but that's the only part of the reason why I went back is Road America is just a fantastic natural terrain race course. Is about 4 miles long. It's over in Wisconsin.
So for 24 hours, someone's got to sit there in shifts and record lap times?
Well, we do it in shifts, obviously, but yeah, it's just, the system we have is very sophisticated and very updated. But, and you don't have to keep up on all the data. You just got to keep up with a certain set of numbers and positions. So, I mean, you might read 10 items on a line, but you only got to record 3 items, and that's about it, and it's not that hard. As long as the system doesn't totally crash, it's not a problem. But, yeah, that's pretty much what we do. And, then there's the penalties and everything else that have to be either assessed immediately or after the race for the next race, the severity of it. I mean, is the person going to be brought into the pits and held for 30 seconds or up to 3 minutes? And in an endurance race of 24 hours, 3 minutes, you can make that time up. But yeah, there's a lot of logistics that goes on, and like I say, your brain is sometimes fried. But I don't know how they did it, you know, back in the 60s. I mean, this is the 60th anniversary, I think, of the 24 hour. And if you saw the movie Ford versus Ferrari, that was pretty much that era 60 years ago. And yeah, it's I remember it. I mean, in 66, I was seven going on eight, and my birthday's late in the year. But yeah, I don't know how they did it back then with pen, paper, stopwatches, old stopwatches. My goodness.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to actually, that sounds exhausting, recording those lap times, watching a stop. And those were probably, I mean, were those analog stopwatches back then? Like, you got to wind?
I believe so. My brother would know. My brother's 8 years older than me. He would know more than I would because he got into racing before I did. And my baptism by fire, I was in 65. I was eight, and I saw my first Indianapolis 500, and I was just dragged along. And my mom said to him, "All right, just don't lose your brother, you know." But and I made it back. But yeah, I remember three stopwatches on a clipboard, and there was a metal bar that you tapped, and it would start one watch, stop the other one, and reset the third one or something like that. Oh gosh, I remember quite well some of that stuff. But now everything, like I said, is all electronic, computerized. I've got like four screens in front of me. Plus I have all the monitors around the track to see what's going on. Spotters on the track to talk to. Corner workers to talk to. It's a fine, well-oiled machine, and we just hope nothing shuts down, you know, where there's a massive power loss, which I only know of happened once at the Rolex 24. That was back in 2016 or 17. They had a massive power failure, and the whole campus of the Daytona International Speedway lost power. And they red flagged the race and just stopped everything until the power came back up.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of anything manual or analog anymore. If I can leverage technology, I'm going to leverage technology. And you would think after an event like that, there's more measures put in place to prevent it from happening again. You know, more battery backups, more generators, whatever it may be. Like why warning labels come to be, right? Something happens, and then they got to put a warning label to try to stop it from happening again.
Well, I started in 92, and my brother was doing it back in the 60s. And it's basically baptism by fire. You know, you just learn as you go. And, yeah, thank God for things like generators and battery backups and these race teams on the pit box. They're all basically little mini cities, you know. They got their own generators, they got their own radio comm systems, computers. I mean, it's central station, and you know, there's what, 4 to 5 engineers per race car. That's just the engineers. You know, it's a these prototypes are hybrid systems, so you've got not just the guys that run the petrol motor, the gas motor, but there's hybrid technology on the front half of the car. And so that's two different sets of engineers, DAGs, you know, data acquisition guys, or now geeks or gals. We say geeks now because we have gals there. And, you know, and then you got your tire watcher, your tire babysitters, and the mechanics, and, oh, God, it just ends now. So, but, like you're saying, when it runs like a fine oil machine, it's quite interesting to watch for sure.
Yeah, people forget how much, or I guess they don't realize how much infrastructure is needed for events like this. I mean, anything, right? They don't realize what's going on behind the scenes.
You're absolutely right, and with the what they call the roar, like a lion's roar, roar before the 24, that's why we have this it's actually a whole week long. It actually started a week ago Sunday. the teams start arriving at the track. They start unpacking everything. They start to assemble the car at the track. I mean, it's just basically, the car is probably built close to 50%, and they take it off the transporter on a skid, and then they take it to the garage, and then they build the car, so on and so forth. And that's, you know, and then they do the shakedown test, pressure test, everything like that. Get 2, 3, 4 drivers fitted for the cars, and, you know, because not every driver's a race the same size, and you got to fit these guys and, you know, shoehorn them in. So there's a lot that goes on. And then, like you say, the logistics, you're basically bringing your garage to the track in one, sometimes two transporters per car. Each transporter carries two cars. And then the second transporter would carry, you know, parts, spare parts, enough to build another two cars if they get destroyed. So it's an amazing thing. And you watch teams like Penske. Penske's in, what, IndyCar, NASCAR, and IMSA. And, you know, his I cannot believe if you see if they come to Detroit, they have a whole team here for the IndyCar series, and they have a whole set of teams and transporters equipment for the IMSA cars because they run the prototypes. And it's like twice as much. And you talk about logistics nightmares and how they do it, and it just runs so flawlessly and seamlessly. It's like some of these guys, you know, they're younger than me, but they got a lot more gray hair than I do, that's for sure. But, it's a sight to behold if you really get into the nitty-gritty of what goes on behind the scenes, for sure. But you nailed it, by Smith, with that statement.
Those transport trailers are sweet. I don't know if they're the same as, I'm sure they're very similar to the ones I've seen on YouTube, or even the NASCAR ones. Yeah, they're probably identical. It's basically a rolling garage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether it's a NASCAR stock car, an Indy 500 car, IMSA sports cars, even drag racing cars, you know, I mean, these things are all, you know, they're like basically built a la carte, built to order, and you can design them with whatever you want, whatever you need. I mean, there's even transporters that are just strictly engineering rooms and meeting rooms and things like that. I know when Penske comes here to Detroit with the IndyCar team, he's got at least 7 transporters for 3 cars, and 1 transporter is just all parts and materials and supplies. If our IndyCar gets destroyed, which they are designed to do, the only thing that's left is the tub that the driver sits in. Everything else, if you've ever seen an IndyCar explode at Indy, it's just carbon fiber everywhere. But as long as the tub is intact, and that's the nickname for it, it's actually called a monocoque that the driver sits in, the car could be rebuilt around the tub. So they got spare parts, spare engines, you name it, they got. Like you say, you basically are bringing your garage or your facility in Mooresville. Where's Mooresville? Is it North Carolina or South Carolina? I don't know. But, wherever they come from, they bring everything with them. It's like when we go overseas. We used to race overseas, and it takes 3 747s worth of equipment, and we have to bring everything. That includes tires, and back in the earlier days, we were burning methanol fuel, and we had to actually have methanol fuel shipped from the United States to Australia, Japan, and 4 points in Europe. I made a comment once about a friend of mine about logistics on Discord. His name was Billy Camphausen, and he's in his mid-80s now. But that guy, he was on, I don't know if FedEx was on speed dial with him or he was on speed dial with FedEx. Because all the equipment that we shipped on these 3 747 FedEx cargo planes. So, yeah, it's poetry in motion.
It's like POTA, but on a massive wave, thousands, millions of dollars more scale.
And millions in cost. We're not talking about the amount of freight we're moving, you know, the cost of the freight they're moving. I mean, if we were to fly to Australia on 3 planes full of equipment and one plane goes down and maybe it's the plane that has, you know, supplier still has to supply tires, and if that plane goes down, where do we get tires, you know, overnight, shipped? You know, as good as FedEx is, they're not going to get them there. They got to be, you know, sent from Ohio. But, yeah, it's, I can't even imagine the cost of a loss if some if a plane were to go down. But, again, you're only allowed so much. I mean, I've heard Billy tell stories, you know, it's like, you know, you got 28 race teams and everything's packed into pods. The cars are torn down to their basic tubs, and they're assembled when they get to the like Australia as an example. And you're only allowed so much equipment and so much weight. And if you know, I don't. If Billy was a stickler. Yeah, I don't care if you're 2 pounds overweight. Lighten the load. It's 2 pounds, because if everybody else puts another 2 pounds in there, these planes ain't going to go nowhere. So, but again, logistics. That was Billy Camphouse's middle name, you know, Mr. Logistics, and, you know, like I said, he's like 85 now and stuff, but we do get together for coffee over the summer and chat. Remember the good old days from when I started in 92 and he started in 78, 79, something like that, it was when he started, but, so, yep, there's horror stories to logistics, that's for sure.
One of my least favorite things to figure out, baby shit, I'm good at it, but I hate doing it because once it leaves your possession or wherever it's coming from, it's out of your control. You're at the mercy of the court.
Very, very true. There's no argument for me with there. Once it's out of my hands and a company like FedEx takes it, it's out of my hands. But it's also, like I say, when you're waiting for something and FedEx model is positively, absolutely has to be there overnight, you know. That's why I only use FedEx for myself, but the fact of the matter is if I order something and it's not there the next day, I'm calling FedEx. I said, okay, my package did not arrive. I need a refund on my credit card for the shipping, please. And 9 times out of 10, they go, oh, Donald's on the phone again. Here we go. Something didn't make it, and I usually get a refund. But, you know, you look at these logistics things, and I'm a fan of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Christmas shows, and how these guys move these stage shows, these elaborate stage shows with the pyrotechnics and graphics and, you know, blow it up, smoke it up, you know, blast it out, and they move, they do 2 shows a day, so they lose like 4 hours out of your day just doing, just, you know, I think it's what, 5 hours, 6 hours? I would say maybe the course over 8 hours, they do 2 shows. So you already lose a third of your day. They pack up the show, and obviously I think they have 2 sets of stages for each crew. So they're going, you know, like they leave Cleveland, go to Chicago, and then they play Detroit in between, and, you know, then Detroit we might play Grand Rapids. You know how those kind of things work. It's almost like that, but on a bigger scale, but you're just using, you know, race cars and, you know, other types of equipment. So logistics, yeah. I don't even know how they do that. They do 90 shows over the course of like 45, 46 days, the last 6 weeks of November, December, and crisscross the state in some adverse weather conditions, but they've never missed a show. WARCY standing by. It's either gas or Red Bull. I would not have guessed the battery. W8RCY, we're clear.
W8RCY, KG8HZ.
Was somebody calling W8RCY? I'm sorry, I had my volume turned down.
Yeah, it's Jerry, KG8HZ. I was listening to you guys on my commute home from work.
Oops, I was on the wrong frequency there. Sorry about that. I switch over to TJ's repeater because that's where you are. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening to you on my commute home from work. I'm Jerry, KGH8Z.
Okay. My phonetics are good, but my brain's scrambled, so it's basically KG8Z.
HZ.
Copy that. So you're on your way home, as most of the guys are going in the morning. And okay, yeah, we're you know, there's usually about four or five of us that are out here. Like apparently some people, I'm retired, but some of the other guys have the MLK day off, and yeah, I'm just slap happy because I just got in from Daytona Beach, Florida this morning. Home for 3 days, and I got to fly back because I work as a race official. And we have a big 24-hour race down there coming up this coming weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask. I wonder what racing group you work for. You just work for the officiating?
Well, I've been doing it for over 30 years, but I've worked in the IndyCar series, and now I work in the IMSA Sports Car Series, and their big race, the 24 Hours of Daytona, is this coming weekend.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I work for Ford. I work at World Headquarters. The building has an ashtrays are full, so they want to demolish it now. Anyway, I was looking on our company webpage. It's not public. It's they're just company wide. And I guess like Bill Ford, his son Will, he's appointed him to Ford Racing.
Well, at least the family's keeping it going. They might be getting back into prototype racing in another season or so. I think maybe 2027, they said they might have a prototype car. But right now they're racing in the touring class, and they've got the Mustangs. And Mustangs last year won in their class, in the pro class, not the amateur class. But they all race together. But the Mustang is quite an impressive race car for sure.
Yeah, they announced, I think, 6 months ago or something, they wanted to get into Formula One racing. I guess they were in it once before. I know they were doing the GT40. They did that years ago, and a couple of those models are at World. They've got, like, a mezzanine parking area, and just about all of Ford's toys are in there. And concept vehicles and all kinds of wild stuff.
Oh, absolutely. We're not even talking what's in the Henry Ford Museum. We're just talking about what Ford has in garages and storage facilities over the years. Yeah, but Ford was big in Formula One in the 70s and 80s as I was growing up. I mean, almost 70, so I've got quite a bit of a history of following all forms of motorsport. But like the Ford GT, that was in the movie Ford versus Ferrari. That's the 60th anniversary of that going on this coming weekend at the Rolex 24. But yeah, Ford's going to get back into Formula One. Cadillac's going to be back this year, but not with their own car. They're getting a chassis, I think, from Haas or somebody. But the 2027 car and engine will all be Cadillac and General Motors branded. So that's going to be a foray for them to take, or a heavy undertaking for them to take. But it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, they had a raffle thing, I think, about a month ago. This back at the train station last Thursday, they were kicking off their racing season. I didn't win the raffle. They said I could sign up to go for the 11 to 1 p.m. Event before the raffle thing, which was, I think, at 7 to 11 p.m. Last week. And I just, you know, that was in the middle of my sleep cycle. I was going to, like, take an E-day, to check out the event if I had won the raffle, but I didn't, so. But I think that's, like, going to be the new place where they'll show vehicles after they implode the glass house. Because apparently the new digs they have across from the Henry Ford Museum, the hub, they call it, there's not enough parking over there. It's, I don't know. Barley really goofed up on that one.
I don't get out to Dearborn much anymore, but just like I was talking to the other gentleman, I don't get up north anymore where he lives. But, yeah, it's going to be sad to see Glass House come down. There's, you know, so many great buildings have come down. It's like even with the Renson. Before that, I remember Ford was in the Renson and part of it at one time before GM got in there. But, I didn't even know the new hub was being built until after it was completed. They were launching. I go, when does this go up? You know, but, so I'm a little bit out of the loop when it comes to actual getting to, you know, like the GM Tech Center or the place out there in Auburn Hills for Chrysler, which is now, what, Stellantis or something. So I'm a little bit out of the loop on some of that, but... No, me with the officiating thing, I just started, like I said before, I got divorced at the end of 89. I needed something to do. And as much as I like racing, I was too old, too tall, too fat, and just to try to cram into a race car. So I signed up with the SCCA to do all the officiating training that I needed to do. Started with IndyCar. In 92, it was the kart series back then, and then just worked my way up the ladder. That's all I did, and I can pretty much pick and choose what I want to do. I was going to retire this past season, but I was asked to come back one more year because there's a race going on at Road America, which is an iconic track, and to run a six-hour endurance race on that track will be a feat to go out on for sure.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, well, I'm 2 years behind you. I'll be 68 in March 1st. They offered me money to retire at the last contract, but it was like $50,000, and then, you know, after taxes, only about $37,000. And there are all these rumors that, well, if you sign up in March, they're going to toss you out, labor relations is going to toss you out in April. And my coworker that signed up for it with 10 years less time than me, he hit 30 and out. He got kicked out, I think, November 1st. He wanted to stay till December 1st, and they kicked him out a month early. But my dilemma with that was it was 66 and 8 months. Yeah, the Social Security, you know, before that I would have took a penalty monthly loss, and I didn't know whether that amount of money was going to hold me out until I could sign up for Social Security, so. I had just seen that. I just thought I'd let you know. I just seen Bill Ford's son there, he's running the racing division, and which encompasses like the I guess the Broncos, they race those, they do like you said, the Mustang stock cars. I also see one thing, Jay Leno, I guess he on YouTube, he bought a he bought a Mustang engine, I guess, from Ford, and it was one of their racing engines, and he put it in a 66 Bronco.
Well, like what I do with racing, though, is just a sideline hobby. I don't get into the political stuff about, you know, employee contracts and direction of where they're going with things and so on and so forth. I do follow some of the history of, like, the Mustangs of the 60s and things like what Jay Leno is doing or other people do with resto mods and stuff like that. But for me, as far as, you know, the actual business of Ford, GM, Chrysler, and everybody else, I don't get into that. And being a race official, I have to be neutral, even though I work with, you know, multiple manufacturers. I mean, I think there should be like 15, 16 different car manufacturers involved in this 24-hour race coming up. So, but all I do is I just officiate races. I don't get involved in politics or who's, you know, who's in charge or anything like that. And I don't mean to cut this short, but I got to get stuff done here. I got to get some sleep. But I've got stuff pending. I got stuff going on in the washing machine, so on and so forth. So, pleasure talking to you. We'll be around probably tomorrow morning if things get normal. And I fly out Wednesday night, be gone for another 4 days for the race weekend, and then I'll be back with those guys after that. So you have a great day. If you're out traveling, be safe on the roads. Pleasure talking to you. W-A-R-C-Y. The name here is Donald. Have a great day.
Okay, down 7-3, have a good day, and great lights and stuff. Yeah, and I already, hoping we don't get any more snow. I'm sick of all these little downpours, I'm just tired of trying to, for my walk. Talk to you later, KG887.
Good morning, Mr. Sean, KU4ZYQ.
Morning, Joe. How are you? Road here this morning. Okay. Perfect, but
yep, so far, taking inventory early here, waking up, all here. I'm not all there, but I'm all here, I think. But I hear the weather report last night and earlier. Sounds like we're going to get a few inches of snow this morning or today sometime.
Yeah, it's weird. I've been listening to the reports, and they say that when they give a time, they always say it's tonight, like 10, 11, 12 o'clock until morning. But then, you know, you have some other reports, they say, you know, like 90% chance of snow today and snow today. And so is it tonight or is it today? So I don't know. I know there's winds coming as well. So, whatever. It'll do what it does.
Yeah, so that, I'm just looking at the radar map here. And I know the northern portion tip near Travis City and thereabouts in the northern portion of the lower peninsula and over by Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids area, there's some, looks like some precipitation, snow, slice, whatever. And some coming a little bit real quickly through this area, but nothing major. But it's what's coming from the northeast, I guess, or northwest, excuse me. Northwest coming down, swooping down. That's the issue they're predicting. So, I don't know. It's that time of year. You never know, you never know. How you doing? Back at you.
Well, not bad. I'm going to breakfast here with my buddies. That's it. Nothing else really on the agenda for today. It's Martin Luther King Day, so we have it off. I may go to Whole Foods, since I'm going to be out that way. I like going through there and shaking my head at the prices.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. I'm looking at the weather radar, the radar app I have, and it says gale warnings expires in 11 hours. Winter weather advisory expires tomorrow. Special weather statement expires in 52 minutes. So I guess something's coming.
Room in there in case any other ships have tea. But, yeah, so I don't know if you heard or not, but we were out to the, we lost our, one of our sites in Warren. And it, we pretty much had it figured out that it was, which side of the microwave top it was on, and it seemed like it was something wrong on the microwave. And when we got there, we found some major wind damage. Somebody else's stuff had went airborne and took out our stuff, so their stuff was precariously made, so I got on the horn with the people of interest, told them, they're like, holy cow, they're bugging out a crew right now, they may be there fixing it, so this is a potential for high winds again today.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. No, I didn't hear any talk about that on the radio. I may have been doing something else. But what's the, in a nutshell, what's the potential of reinstalling or redoing that whole thing that you said had wind damage? Or is it a lost cause at this point?
Oh, I've got the plan. There's, I'm going to work with the... team that's fixing the damage, they recognize that they probably owe me some work. So I've got a couple of ideas, but we are going to have to wait until that happens. So they're, you know, I don't think they're going to do it today. I think they're going to come out today and just secure everything, clean things up, make sure there's no further damage, and then they'll probably schedule to come out sometime later. And at that time, I'll have them do stuff for me, but I've got some plans. It's going to be a bit. Anyhow, let's not be a bit of a
KE4ZYQ. Well, not to pick your brain about anything deeper, hard to think about this early in the morning. I got somebody that's got an issue I don't know. Maybe you have an opinion or experience or suggestion. I know there's things out there myself, but I don't know what you might suggest. Somebody I know has what they call hammering. It's water plumbing that in your house that when something shuts off real fast, it hammers the pipe. And I know they have arresters or something you put in line, but have you ever had any experience or somebody you know or something that you could do without having to do some major plumbing work to kind of put that to rest back to you?
I mean, no, I'm not the guy to ask. I know what you have to do with the construction phase to ensure there's no hammering. But, you know, that requires modifying the pipes. Got to have that piece that goes up above the, you know, where it pees off the feeder sink, that space there. But I don't know how you would do that after the fact. Maybe there's something you could put where the, you got to figure out which, you know, obviously which faucet it is, and then maybe there's something you put in line. Seems like there could be or would be, but I'm not the right guy to ask. Not to be a plumber, even though from the back when I'm crouched down looking at radio equipment, I get double for one.
Yep, USL that. No, I just thought I'd throw it out, see what's stuck against the wall. But, yeah, this person has it happening now because they turn their thermostat up on their their humidity level on their humidifier, on their furnace, turned it up higher so there'd be more moisture in there. By doing that, that pipe supply line to the humidifier on the furnace is doing, when the furnace shuts off and turns off that mechanism that stops the flow of the water to the humidifier, it does the hammering. But summertime's no problem because you don't put a lot of moisture in the air. But anyhow, well, how's the roads that you see them so far, knock on wood?
Oh, not bad. They're wet, mostly, which is weird. I don't know how it could be 18 degrees and the roads are wet. You think it would be frozen over, right? But apparently the car traffic is enough to keep them wet. Wet, a little slushy in some spots, but I have not noticed any driving issues at all. So that's good. Just plugging along here. I'm in, where am I at now? Am I at Royal Oak? I think I am in Royal Oak. 13-mile road approaching Woodward.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, let me take the opportunity that just popped into my head to say thank you as a fellow ham for all you and anybody does to keep your repeater systems running and linked, and this Mount Clements one I'm on. Thank you for people like myself in particular that use it without expense or trouble or time other than using it. And I don't take it for granted. I'm blessed to feel that way every time I key up and every time I use any repeater, especially ones like yourselves that you guys maintain, put up, whatever, you know, fix, whatever. So you guys deserve a great thanks and a great respect for all that. So, and I mean that, as you probably should see or tell, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. KE4ZYQ.
Well, thanks, but I'm not a big fan of the accolades or anything like that. It's just, we do it because we enjoy it. It's our part of the hobby, right? So, I'm not a big fan of making a thing of it. Anywho, I think my stop is coming up here on the left. Pretty sure. I didn't GPS this one. Oh, my credit union has an outlet here. I'll be darned. Look at that. I'm on Woodward at Normandy. Did I go the wrong way? I better start watching, Joe.
Hey, Sean, well, once we get to spring or summer, if you go to that morning breakfast on Saturdays that a lot of the people like from Hazel Park or whatever anybody goes to, one of these days I'd like to make it. I have yet to ever gone to that breakfast, so if you make it fairly regularly or once in a while, maybe I could run in there and see folks and have breakfast. I have yet to do that during spring and summer, especially. And winter time's a no-go for that for me. Slip and slide. But you said the road was wet. I think it's because the salt that they put down, even though it doesn't work during cold, freezing weather, I think the people driving on the salt that crushed the snow must make it more wet than it does frozen. So, but have a good day and a return trip to where we're back home. Always good talking to you and the group, any of them, Dakota, whoever. So thanks again. KE4ZYQ, still here.
All right, Joe, yeah, I just found my place, so making the Michigan left here, and then I'll be parked. So, catch you later. Thanks for driving along. W8FU.
KE4ZYQ. Have a good one.
Just a quick in and out. W8RCY is here just saying good morning. Catch you all later this afternoon after I get some sleep. W8RCY, we're clear.
Well, good morning, Donald, if you're still there. KE4ZYQ. Hopefully you're doing well.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm just tired. I
I was in Florida for the last 4 days, and on a whirlwind extravaganza, very little, no sleep, and I'm home for 3 days, and then I go back down for four more, and then I have time off until March. But I go back to Sebring, Florida. I was in Daytona this past weekend. I'll be in Daytona Beach this weekend doing my racing thing, and yeah, haven't done it in a while. Well, I was off for 4 months, and planning on retiring and not doing it anymore, but I got called back, and not much changes during the off season, but yeah, there were some changes this year, and it's just taxing on my brain. And I got in early this morning, and I on adrenaline and Starbucks and everything else, and I just can't fall asleep. But now the battery, just like my radio, is probably starting to die down, and I'll be taking a nap probably in the next few hours.
Donald, I don't envy you for the travels and the stress or tiredness or the back and forth, even though you do what you do, obviously. But, yeah, I hear you about tiring out and trying to fall asleep and all that. I woke up this morning here, got up early than I usually do because I was wide awake. And I'm not one to just lay there when you're wide awake, even though you went to sleep later in the evening, you know, earlier in the evening. But I said, well, I'm awake. Might as well get up, start the day. And I ended up conking off here sitting by the radio, waking back up again. So, hey, when you're retired, things do happen like that. And you don't even have to be retired to do that, as you know. But I'm glad you got a safe travels home to Michigan. And hopefully the same thing back when you go back again for any return trips back to you.
Well, fortunately, I get to travel, I want to say, I would say charter more than I fly commercial. Our race organization has planes where they transport people that are at the race in an official's capacity or whatever the case may be. And a lot of people do have full-time jobs and they have to work. And some do stay down there for 2 weeks, some do come home, and I just take that junket charter, and we fly in and out of Oakland Pontiac Airport, and then down there at the Daytona track, the airport is right next door. Daytona International Airport is like right off the east end of, southeast end of the speedway out there, so it's all like within a mile and a half to 2 miles of each other. You can walk practically on a nice day. And the weather down there wasn't too bad this past week. We had rain when I arrived and we had rain when I left, but it was just overcast and yucky. And the predictions for the race this coming weekend, the 24 hours of Daytona, that's kind of looking iffy for Sunday with some rain. But, yeah, it's all business law down there. I don't have time to really associate. My brother was there. He lives in Oxford, Florida, near the Villages, the city, the town, whatever that is. He's like the next city to the west of that. And I told him I don't really have time, but if I see you on Wednesday or something or Thursday when I get there next week, we'll definitely maybe try to grab a bite to eat and catch up. But yeah, there's a lot of work, and like you say, there's some stress because it's the first race of the season. And a lot of new rules, a lot of new regulations and things like that have to go on. But I'm not going to bore you with all that. But, yeah. So good morning to you. And I don't know if Sean heard me or not, but Gordon, good morning to him. I guess he's out having breakfast with some of his buddies. So, all righty. Me, I'm just getting unpacked, repacking, doing laundry, cleaning my apartment. Had to turn the heat on because I had it off for 4 days. Came back, it was a little chilly in here. But after I get everything done, hopefully by noon, I'll be taking a nap. You have a great day, W8RCY.
Yeah, Donald, no, it's good you made the trip okay there and back. And going to be doing it again from the sound of it. But no, you don't bore me about the subject or the topic. By all means, it's the only way you expand one's brain and share with other people's endeavors and activities and fun or whatever, work or otherwise, is to listen to different ideas and different topics. I like diversity. I talked to somebody recently about guns and guns and ammo and reloading ammo and all this and that. I've never done it, probably never will do reloads. But to hear the ins and outs and the particulars and how it's done and done properly and whatever. I am a gun, somewhat a gun enthusiast, that I've gone to gun ranges. I don't hunt, but I've gone to gun ranges and shoot proficiently at the range or indoor-outdoor range. And, you know, when you own a few pistols or rifles or whatever, you know, you're pretty good at it if you ever use them and shoot them. But no, not boring, not boring, so don't ever worry about that with me. I like different hobbies, different topics, whether I do them or not. The more you learn, the more you can appreciate. The more you appreciate, the more fun life is. But anyhow, up to you if you're going to take a rest and get to bed, get a nap, whatever. But I'm here. Don't ever think you're boring somebody like me, KE4Z like you.
Well, I truly appreciate that sentiment. Yeah, because all we usually do talk about on here is radio stuff. And, you know, I've heard gun conversations, and I had a gun for a while, but I lost, due to an injury to my right hand, I lost some grip strength in my hand, and I said, well, there's no reason for me to have a gun, there's no reason for me to carry a gun anymore or be involved with guns. So I sold a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson about 5 years ago. But, yeah, guns, they were okay, you know, I guess there's supposed to be some kind of local gun and knife show coming up. I heard before I left town last week, and I don't know if it comes on this week or next week or whatever, but or maybe towards closer to the end of the month. But yeah, I've lost interest in guns. Kind of strange, but racing is racing. It's just that was in my blood when I was 8 years old, many moons ago. But it's been just a hobby of mine. It's just been an interest of mine, and I had to do something when I got divorced, needed a new hobby, and I wasn't really into radio. I was in GMRS. I've been in GMRS since 78, but, I mean, amateur radio, I still saw that as a long way off. And the late Professor Don was the one who, along with Sean and a bunch of these other guys that I have breakfast with on Saturday mornings, got me involved in it. And, yeah, I don't know how far I'll go, if I'll go beyond the tech or not. But right now, from where I'm at with everything else that's going on, tech is where it's at for me with my tech license. So, okie dokie, I got to get stuff done here because, like I said, I got laundry going and other things. And I will catch up with you later. I'll be on maybe for a little more while. Then I'm going to probably, I know I'm going to be in bed before noon. So you have a great day. And just one thing more importantly than anything else, stay warm. Have a good one. W8RCY.
Hey, Donald. Well, again, welcome back home to your home here. And glad you made it safe and sound and unscathed, as they say. Yeah, I hate to tell you, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Knife and Gun Show was this past weekend. I'm pretty sure it was this past weekend. I heard it advertised. I told some people last week about it. Not that I was going, but that it was there, and they advertised it a little bit. But, yeah, talking about different hobbies and different things, I've got GMRS, too, also. I got my license, WRWY979, if you ever hear that, GMRS. I've been on it, geez, in several weeks lately. I got the radio here, HTs, handhelds, but I don't have a big unit of any kind, or in the car. But, yeah, no, don't ever hesitate to talk about things. Sorry about your hand with the gun and all that. I used to go to the ranges and shoot once in a while. And one of these days I'll tell you the story. Remind me to tell you the story about the shotgun at the gun range with some slugs to test out a new shotgun. And at an indoor gun range, they allowed it as long as you used slugs. I'll tell you that story one time. It's pretty funny in a way. Nothing bad happened, but anyhow. Well, get some rest. Have a good nap, whatever. Get charged up and recharged and... Hey, good talking. Donald, always good talking, guys, on this one and the link system. KE4ZYQ, going to be quick. Listen up.
KF8DBZ, monitoring.
W8FV.
CEB, what?
Hey! EAY! What's up?
Well, just enjoying the day off.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Come on, Woodward. Looking for 15 mile. Gonna go to Whole Foods. How come every time I talk on my radio, I'm knocking out my satellite?
It's between 14 mile and 16 mile. But, you got a little RFI problem there?
Yeah, I'm listening to, Sirius XM. And, when I key up on this radio, it says satellite acquiring signal. And then when I unkey the radio, it comes back. I have never noticed that, never seen that before.
Yeah, I haven't had that issue. Are you, how close are you to the shark fin?
Not real close. I mean, close, but... Anyhow, I wonder if terrestrial signal, because they have terrestrial broadcast. I don't know what band's that on. Do you have any idea what the terrestrial frequencies are for Sirius XM?
I have no idea. I thought it was all satellite. I didn't know they had any terrestrial. But... Yeah, I know I will get, sometimes you'll, like, pass by an LED sign in my, the radio flicker, like, lose connection with the Bluetooth or whatever, and radio flicker, but it'll come back as soon as you pass it.
Yeah, I've never noticed this before, but then again, I don't normally listen to, SiriusXM, so it's entirely possible, I just never... noticed, but it's been doing all along, but it seems weird that it's the first time I ever noticed it. Anyhow, whatever. Maybe it's because I got a coating of snow on top and they're snow coupled.
Yeah, could you take a look at the script I sent you?
I saw you sent it. I did not look at it.
Yeah, you should just have to load it on the asterisk and put some triggers into the repeat.com, but tried to make it as full as possible.
Well, it's like they don't want you to know where you are driving over here in Birmingham, trying to find 15 miles. None of the streets not marked. But I think I got there. I think I'm on 15. It's hard to tell. This looks too broad to be anything but. Yeah, I'll take a peek at that and see if I can implement that. For me, it's more lazy apathy.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad. I've got it more complicated in my system because I'm running two different scripts to do it. As I have one script that sends pushover notifications, so I can have different scripts that do send notifications to that one. So kind of a neat little setup. Every Sunday when I disconnect for the HFNet, and I get a little push notification or if it goes down or whatever. So nice little indication sometimes.
All right, well, the other question, the question is, does the person that wants to receive these notifications need to sign up for something, or is that just done one time for the
for the node you're doing. What are the people that want to receive this? What do they need to do?
So they'll have to sign up for a pushover account, but in that script I sent a link and I can send it on the Discord, whatever, whoever wants it, but it's set up to do like a subscription list that somebody can go click the link and sign up for the notifications, and then if they want to stop getting them, they can go there again and unsign up for it. So, but yeah, it's set up to send to a group, and then people can add themselves to the group.
All right, well, I'll get with John. He may want to automate it, send it to the Discord channel or something. I don't know. I'll look it over and then discuss it with him, see what he wants to do. So, all right, I'm here at Whole Foods. I'm going to run inside and look at all the stuff that's too expensive. I'll be back after yours, W8FU.
And if you guys want to set up your own account and get your own keys and whatever, that's fine, too. I just set it up so that all you have to do is send out that link, and whoever wants them can sign up for it. So it's up to you guys. But anyway, 73CABY.
Well, just as I suspected.
Everything's pretty to look at, but you can't afford it.
I thought you were going to sleep. No, I mean, everything is it's a little pricey. It wasn't bad, but it's just like, I didn't see anything there. There are a couple of items I thought,
No, I can't be gone for 2 whole weeks. I'm home for 3 days. I do things like laundry and stuff, check on the place. But, yeah. Anyhow, Dakota and I were the only two on the radio this morning. Unfortunately, he had to go in. But other than that, that's about it. I'm going to have myself some lunch in about a half hour, and then I'm going to try to get some sleep. I haven't slept since I've been home. I got in just before 1 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, I thought I heard you saying earlier you were going to get some sleep, so. But. Well, enjoy your couple of days. Head back on down and do it again, except for this time for real.
Yeah, I'm just going through stuff, you know. I got a battery problem with my Motorola batteries. They're on the charger, and they're not doing their normal flashing colors. I've got one that's flashing just solid, you know. I mean, not solid, but it's flashing red, so that one may have gone bad. The other one's intermittent, and the other one is intermittently flashing red, and then the other one is in a full-duty cycle starting at orange or yellow, whatever that is. So, I don't know, maybe these batteries are getting old anyway, like me, so I might have to get them replaced, buy some new ones. If not, I've got about 1 or 2 extra batteries to get me through the year without having to make the investment.
I'm just waiting for Wally to get that TM9900. If it checks all the boxes, I'm going to get a TM9900 for the car, and a TP9900 for portable, and sell everything else. All have a fire sale. And I'll be able to cover a fraction of one of them.
Well, that sounds interesting for sure, you know. Downgrade. If you have any batteries that fit my XPR portables, I'll take them. You know, they don't have to be in 100% condition, but if they're workable and I can still charge them up,
when you have that fire sale, let me know. I know, I think you have an XPR, don't you? An HT like mine?
Well, if in have one as in I have my one from work, then yes. But, no, I don't own one. And, no batteries. We use the batteries until they're no good, and then we keep home. So, no usable batteries either. And, I could do that too. I could buy a R7 or a 7550 or whatever the hell it is. But I haven't really decided. It all depends on what I want. Like, I'm here in the car right now. I've got one digital mode, and it's the one nobody uses, at least in this region.
Well, batteries I have, but they're just, like I said, I have a set that, three of them that are starting to go, and, I charged them up. Everything was green before I went down there, and we do have chargers available. I can drop them off at Racing Radios, and they'll, you know, just go to the guys and say, hey, can I use your chargers? Yeah, just, you know, put a little sticker on them or something so we know they're yours, and we'll put them in the system for you, and that's what they usually do. But they were swamped, and I didn't get a chance to have them charged. You know, they're sitting on my desktop chargers now, and they're flashing all kinds of colors, everything but green. So, but I got batteries to get through if I have to, but we'll see what I'm going to do if I have to invest in new batteries, because these are 5-6 years old. I got these radios in 99, and I do rotate them out amongst the radios, or the ones that I take. You know, I only take one radio with me down there, but my personal one. But, yeah, I take one or two extra batteries. But I just don't bring a charger because I can get a charger. So, anyhow, so that's about it here.
What is this? Percent coffee? What is that?
WARCY. I don't know what that is, but that was the only thing I heard come across the radio on your last transmission was, what is that?
Well, I don't know what it is. There's like percent coffee. I'm not 100% sure what their sign says. It's like a coffee cup, and then it's what looks like a percent sign, but there's some sort of weird opening in the circles and the percent signs, like S's, like stormtrooper S's, so it can't be SS coffee. That would be pretty gauche. But I'm gonna go with percent coffee. Never heard of it, if that's what in fact it is. Now I'm over here at 15 in Rochester. Now I'm at 15 in Stevenson. I'm gonna hop on the expressway, run by the Warren site, see if the antenna crews are up there working on the stuff. That's about it. Nothing else to do today. Just bat and go home and vegetate.
And put on the comfy sweats and just hunker down. That's pretty much what I'm doing. Like I said, I've already done laundry this morning. I got to do one more load of laundry. Got to clean this place up a little bit. It's been stagnant for 4 days, and took a while for it to warm up because I made sure the furnace and everything was shut off before I left. So when I got in this morning, it was cold in here, and I did turn the furnace on, and you know, basically melted the icicles off of the end of the coffee table and stuff like that. No, it wasn't that bad, but yeah, it was kind of cold in here, so. All right, I will let you go. Enjoy the rest of your day off, and I'll be around Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. And then, like you say, I go back for real. So catch up with you later. Enjoy your day. W-A-R-C-Y.
Yeah, looking at looking at flags here. Boy, the wind's really picked up. You guys are going to be struggling up there. All right, catch you later. I'll be it up.
WDA-KLL is mobile.
Out here, but I'm chickens.
Bunch of chickens, huh?
For looking at breakfast with a couple of my buddies, and figured I'd go check out the rooftop, see if the crews are fixing things. They're not, which is looking at this wind. They're living dangerously. Other than that, went to Whole Foods. Didn't find nothing. I left them a little something, but I didn't buy anything. That's it for me. Just a boring MLK day off. And a day off's good no matter what.
Yeah, the old MLK workday. Everybody's off for the federal workers and banks and all that good stuff. So glad you could be part of that, huh?
Yeah, I ain't worked a bank holiday since 1990. I don't even know what it's like to work on a bank holiday. I've not missed working on a bank holiday.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I never had to. I never observed the MLK day at the past jobs that I had. So we always had to work, but that's okay.
Yeah, we get MLK, and then we get President's Day, and then we get Columbus Day. We get Juneteenth now. We just got Juneteenth within the last 3 to 5 years. I can't remember when that became a thing. That was the most recent addition. We used to have a floating holiday, so we could take that one day anytime we wanted it, our floating holiday. And then they got rid of the floating holiday and gave us Juneteenth. I'd rather have a floating holiday, but okay, whatever. But time off has always been very generous where I work. There's the banking, they allow you to bank it and stuff like that. So that has always been a good thing. Meanwhile, man, you ever notice there's some turns where, you know, the one side always wants to cut real close and cuts off the other side? I just hit one of them turns.
Hey, Sean, how is this radio sounding? It's just my Yaesu handheld, the FT5G.
Sounds real good. Good and strong, and you're in pretty solid. There might be a little, just a wee little bit of popcorn in there, but I'm driving, and it's pretty much, if it is there, it's being overcome by the road noise, so it sounds very good.
Okay, good deal. I have the 510, the FT510, but I've been leaving that at home. I have that in my living room, actually. So I've got my shack in one room, and then I have the 510 in my living room. So I got radio in both rooms. So anyways, this is the handheld with the Comet 2x4. You know, on the truck.
No, working very good. No problems there. I run a, I had a 500, not a 510, but I had a 500 in this thing. And I put the 200 back in it. Just go minimalist. I don't really miss it, but I don't know. I had a 400 in here for a little while. So I got a 200, a 400, and a 500. I got to thin the herd, get rid of those. I got so much I got to get rid of. I don't sell anything. You got to sell a bunch of stuff. Just get one mobile radio for this rig. Call it a day. Anyhow, I am here at home. Sounding good over there. I will let you put a ribbon on it, and I'm going to get inside. W8F.
Okay, Sean, good talking with you there. Yeah, I love my 510. That radio, just phenomenal. That ASP feature, the auto signal processing, that thing works great too. So, anyways, all right, Sean, good talking with you, my friend. We'll chat with you again. W8FU, WD8KLO, we'll be clear.
Good afternoon, K8GMR.
What's up, man? I feel like I haven't heard you out here forever.
Yeah, it's been a while. You actually caught me. I was in the basement, actually turned the radio on, and just caught you. You just heading home from work?
Yep, just rolling out of the parking lot here. And it's nice and light today because of the holiday.
How are the roads now? I was out earlier and they were pretty rough.
It's hard to tell because Hall Road is Hall Road and it's salty and dry. So I'm assuming the further north I get, the worse they'll get, but Hall Road is just white and no snow, no moisture.
That's good. Yeah, I had to run to the vet earlier, and it wasn't too bad. A lot of blowing snow, and then it was real bad around, like, the when you cross by the field, all the drifts coming out. But other than that, made it home and said, that was it. I'm not going back out today. Plus, it's way too cold.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if I'm going to have to touch my driveway or not. It was pretty snow-covered this morning, and I had some drifts, and I usually take care of my neighbor, who's a older, widowed woman who's very nice, so I try to help her out. So I really hope I don't have to do either today because it's freezing cold, but we'll see. I'm also wondering, since it's sunny out, and it's been relatively sunny all day, if my solar node charged at all. I was at 92% this morning when I looked. And I hope it's charging. It looks like it's working. It's just the sun is not that great right there because of the high peak of the house. Wow, I'm picking someone up on 2 meters over here. So, I don't know. We'll see. And then I don't get any contacts at work, which I don't love.
Yeah, I wasn't picking too much up over Hall Road area either. But it seems like it's working pretty good out this way. You said you were able to connect pretty reliably, right?
Yeah, which is funny because when we did this last year, down here was where I was able to connect and see a ton of nodes. That seems to have since faded, and now it works better at home. And I don't know. I think we have a decent enough setup from Elmont to, I don't know, probably 22-ish area, but there's really nothing bridging the gap to the Mount Clemens nodes that I see. So I think what needs to happen is I need to get a node on the roof of my building, and that'll probably make a tremendous difference.
Yeah, I was doing a test, I think it was yesterday maybe. I was just checking like every mile. And we got, you know, there was a couple of little dead zones, but I was pretty much hitting it from the house all the way to like 31 consistently, and then it was down until I got to about 23. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, I mean, I think the quality of these nodes is a little bit better now, and I think the firmware has something to do with it. And then I also think increasing the number of hops has something to do with it, too. Like, I texted Dave's node, his base node, which is that pie hat that I was telling you about. I texted or sent him 4 messages this morning that all got the acknowledged with the little encryption mark, which means they were delivered to that node from my kitchen.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a lot better than it was. You know, I don't know, what was it? What's it been? A couple years or a year? Over a year? Since, probably almost 2 years now since we got them.
Yeah, that's true, because I moved into my house, no, it was probably that winter, winter of 24, so, yeah, a little over a year. But I also think a lot of it, I didn't know anything about it or know what I was doing or know how to set up the hops or, you know, we were screwing around with private channels, this, that, and the other thing. I think just for building out mesh and figuring out what's going to work and what's not, just leave it on the primary channel, send direct messages, and go from there. And that's all I've done. I have not changed anything on any of these nodes except for changing the hops to 7 and, you know, random non-essential things like changing the name and the GPS.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been messing with. Messed with this antenna on the house yesterday. Thought I'd do better. I got rid of that 6-foot piece of coax and put it right to the node, and I ended up having a worse signal. Like, I wasn't connecting to anything, so I put it back with the 6-foot piece of coax, and everything seems to be working good again. So I'm leaving it. I told my wife, I said, why don't you tell me? Don't tell me to stop messing with it. You know, it's working good. Leave it alone.
Yeah, dude, if we can get something like Pine Tree in Elmont area or Romeo area, like if you get the Romeo one higher, I think we'll be bridging all kinds of gaps here. It seems like the biggest void is like the Washington Township area, at least according to my map of what it's seen. So I think if we got that a little more filled in, it would probably be a solid mesh from where we're at least Hall Road, and then there's a little bit of a gap between more nodes further south, but that would be an easy fix because there's so many tall buildings on Hall Road that we could put something on.
Yeah, that's what I was noticing. About 30 miles to 23 is kind of like a dead zone. I got another one going in. I don't know how much it'll help. We'll have to check it out. But the guy's putting one in. It's like 33 in Wolcott area. So, I don't know. It won't really help us south, but over towards like Armada area, it might help.
Just trying to think who I know in that area. Well, my grandma's got a condo at 27 in Campground Van Dyke area over there. So that would be decent. Next time I need to go fix her Wi-Fi or something, I'll just climb up in the attic and put one up there. What else? I don't know. That's it, though. I mean, because it seems like all of our traffic's going from where we're at east to go south. So if we could cut that out, I think it'd make a big difference.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it, though, so far. I mean, for just kind of messing around with it. I think we got a pretty good little mesh going, at least, you know, to get from out here down, you know, to my work at least, which was, that's what initially started it. That was the main, you know, focus. And then with Pine Tree, that just kind of opened that up.
Behind N8ZBA. I don't know who that is. Hello, N8ZBA. Yeah, Pine Tree's a powerhouse. It's obviously height is everything. And we don't have that capability, kind of. Well, you do. Just a matter of how. But, yeah, no, I'm content with it. If my goal, ultimately, now that I'm playing with this trap again, if I could send messages from my office to Elma, I'd be pumped.
Yeah, I don't think we're too far off from it. You know, a couple at Hall Road somewhere, like you said, tall building. And then, you know, if we could bridge that Washington gap, I think it's completely doable.
Need to keep improving the proof of concept so we can get a couple more people on board that are willing to contribute nodes or buildings or money or whatever, and it'll be good. But, yeah, like I said, the fact that I'm texting dudes house to house to keep that 23 card, I'm at Dryden 53, is pretty damn impressive for these little gadgets.
AE4ZYQ.
Go ahead,
KU4ZYQ. This is Joe, Juliet Oscar Echo, Kilo Echo 4, Zulu Yankee, Quebec. You're talking about sites to put up something, a node or antenna or whatever. There is a building on Hall Road. It's on the south side of Hall Road that's between Hayes and Garfield. It is actually the business office for the Macomb Community College, and it's square in nature, and I don't know if it's about 3 to 4 stories high, but if there was a way to put something if needed, like a tower, you know, small, not huge, but small tower to elevate something antenna-wise, reception, transmission-wise, that's something I don't think anybody's ever asked or looked into if the college would permit something like that to be utilized, that size building with something on top. Just thought I'd throw it out. Back to you guys talking. KU4ZYQ.
All right, thanks, Joe. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's also the hospital at 19 Mile Road. That'd be the ideal spot, but I'm sure there's a lot more red tape to get access to that rooftop. My corporate headquarters is right at Plank, and it's a 3-story building, so that should suffice decent enough, but we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the ticket, though. We got to get them up high.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed. Obviously, you know, the higher the better with these because they're so low wattage.
Going to that crater, I don't know if I'm making it out.
You're making it. It's a little scratchy. So is your node still on the, what would it be, the east side? You didn't move it or anything, did you?
Yeah, it's just on, like, the pretty much where that for the kitchen is at, sliding door wall, it's like a little bit above that. It's as tall as I could get with an 8-foot ladder standing on it, so still on the east side, panel facing south, but I think because it's winter time, well, I don't know. You know, it's facing south, so I should get better. Really, really. That topmost section is, like, not planted.
I seriously think that's what it is. It's not clamped perfectly inside the pipe. Like, it's a little bit of a play as it's bent or leaning one way or another.
Definitely going to have to wait for the weather to break, though. It's way too cold out there to be getting up on ladders.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going up there now. So as long as we can survive the next month or two, enough proof that it'll hold up, and I can get it up there and not have to worry about getting it back down.
Yeah, I got mine currently. Mine's kind of like temporarily put up there. It was just kind of to get the proof of concept before I went through the hassle of, you know, getting it permanently mounted, but I think it's good right now. If I could go a little higher, that'd be better, but I'm pretty happy with it now. I just gotta, same thing, wait for the weather to break, and then I'll get it all secured a lot better. So it looks a little nicer.
Yeah, I got a couple tie-in things to do too. Like, I still haven't wired in the lightning arrestor to ground. I still haven't put the ground wire from the mast into the ground rod, but I figured it's winter time. I don't have to worry about lightning. But come early spring, as soon as that weather starts to break, that's going to be the first thing I got to do is make sure that thing's all properly grounded out.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad once this cold gets out of here. Here it's supposed to drop really cold this weekend.
It's supposed to be what, 9?
Yeah, I was hearing something like that, 5 or 9, and then factor in the wind chill. Somebody said it was like supposed to feel like negative 20 or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. I don't think we've gone negative yet, have we?
I don't think so. It doesn't feel like it's been that bad. It just seems like it's all coming now.
I didn't give you that. I shouldn't complain. I mean, it's towards the tail end of January, so we got February is going to be brutal, and then we got to get into March and see if it's going to be a springy March or if it's going to be a snowy March.
Okay, TMR. Yeah, that's always the crapshoot there. Like, is it going to be a good March or is it going to be horrible and carry into April, and then, you know, half of April will be snow. Ty's got lacrosse starting in March, and it's like, I wish they could do that a different season, because by the time you get all the games in, you know, and the weather starts getting nice, the season's almost over.
Yeah, I know, I remember that sucked, having leggings on and freezing, you know, hands get hit, they're going numb because they're already numb. Yeah, I always wish that season started like a month or two later.
Yeah, actually in the off season now, he started doing that box lacrosse. Not sure if you ever played that or not. But I went to one of his games, I think it was last Saturday maybe. But that was the first time I've been to a box lacrosse game. That's a whole different meaning of lacrosse. That's pretty brutal.
I wanted to, but never did. I couldn't get my parents to do it. I also don't think there was anything in the area back when I was playing. But I wanted to real bad because it's basically hockey. Well, it's a hockey rink, but there's way more fighting and violence, which I'm all for.
Yeah, that's the same for him. That's why he likes it. But, yeah, it was quite entertaining. And I'm like, well, that's not bad. At least, yeah, I got a lucky seat. I was sitting right under the heater, so definitely beat sitting outside watching a game, you know, in the middle of winter. But, yeah, he likes it. They got his school, I think they got a team for the off season, and I'm not sure when it goes to, but he got another one coming up. It was that they're playing nothing close, of course. It's down in Fraser, I think, at that big boy ice arena.
I was going to ask where. I'll was trying to think of where the hell they would even do that, but I forgot that Fraser does all kinds of random stuff. We sponsor, I think it's Superior, is that the big one? I haven't been there in years, man. I think the last time I scooted at Fraser, we had to delay the game because the ice behind the net broke.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch, you know. It's like, I feel like it's kind of opposite, though, right? They got hockey nets, but they got goalies in full goalie pads with these little nets. I feel like, you know, the outdoor one, the goalies should be in those pads. The nets are a lot bigger, or they look a lot bigger.
That was another reason I wanted to play, was because they had that set up, and you really have to shoot dimes to score goals while you're getting wrecked. So I really wanted to play. I wish I would have. It was definitely a bucket list. It wasn't really popular. I don't even think it was that popular in the U.S. at that point. It was still a pretty Canadian version of lacrosse.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to one of the other team's goalies, and kind of talking about it, and he was kind of going over, like, yeah, you know, it was nothing until the Canadians figured out, you know, when there's no ice in these rinks and all that, they can get out there and or go inside and play lacrosse in the rinks. So it was pretty neat, though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I wish, man. That's a brutal, fun game. You know, don't get me wrong, field lacrosse was always like my... even if I played bocce, I don't think I would have ever thought about switching. But, the violence. Like, I played attack from sophomore year. My varsity coach was like, cut your people in half, you're done, your hands are too good. So from that point on, I was playing a long stick, and I was like 5'5". And he's like, cut that thing in half, you're running attack now. So I switched to attack and never looked back. But, man, I always had a thirst for blood when I was going for ground balls and the long poles were trying to pick them up.
Yeah, I don't think maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't see any. I think in boxing class, there's no long sticks, is there?
No, I don't even think there's defense really either, is there? It's like... Isn't it like mids and attacks? Like, that's it? I think there's less people out on the field.
Yeah, I think it's 5-on-5 and then the goalies, so 6 on each side. So I wasn't really sure how they, it was moving so fast, they couldn't really tell how they had it set up, you know, offense and defense. But, yeah, there's only 5 guys out there, you know, plus the goalie.
Yeah, that sounds right. I can't imagine running 9-on-9 in a hockey ring, because even 5 hockey players, 5-on-5 takes up space quick.
Yeah, I like, too, how they, the substitutions and all that, it's on the fly, just like hockey. So it's kind of cool. It's like, you know, a combination of, you know, lacrosse and hockey, and then you go to the field lacrosse, and that's, I feel like, more a combination between football and lacrosse.
Yeah, no box or subs. I remember that. I hated it. I always had to tag up. But, yeah, maybe I'll catch a game one time. I've never, ever watched a game in person for box, so that'd be sweet. And I think there's a bar there, isn't there?
Yes, sir. I scoped that out the last game I was at. I'll let you know. I think his next game... is until like February 14th. I think it's Valentine's Day. It's at like 1. So if you're interested or whatever, you can shoot down with us or whatever, meet us down there and check it out.
Yeah, remind me as it gets a little bit closer. I'm more curious to see what the setup's like.
Yeah, I know. All I know is he told me he's like, in regular field lacrosse, he ripped his, you know, bicep pads or whatever off, because, you know, they're not cool. And this one, he made sure he had to go out and order some. He's like, I'm not playing without those.
I think they wear rip pads, too, don't they?
I don't know if it's required, but I did get him some rib pads for regular lacrosse because he just, you know, takes it in there, and, I mean, these guys are just hacking at him, and he got pretty beat up last year, and I'm like, why don't you wear some? Like, nobody's even going to know, and, I mean, it'll allow you to just plow through now instead of, you know, getting your ribs broke every time you try going through.
I tried them for a little bit, but I'd always get too hot. I don't know. I didn't like the feeling. I wore them for a couple games. That was early on. That was like sophomore, junior season-ish. And then I finally got to the point where I'm like, wait a minute. I can just shoot from, like, outside the fan where I should be shooting and not have to drive as much, and then I don't get beat up as bad.
Yeah, that's what I tried telling him. He's more worried about trying to, you know, make the hit. I'm like, you're more worried about hitting these dudes. Like, go after the ball. The ball's sitting right there. Like, hit him later.
Is he a midi?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like every midi I ever played with, so nothing out of the ordinary. All they wanted to do was kill people instead of getting me the...
Yeah, I'm like, you picked a position that, like, is the most running, you know? Could have been on defense, could have been on attack, kind of just hung out in your area. Nope, you picked the one position where you're running nonstop back and forth on the whole field.
My freshman season at Ferris, my coach was, I don't know, he was one of those coaches that, like, just thought he knew more than he did. So he would put me on, like, a wing on mid for Fogos. And he basically just told me to go get the ball. I'm like, okay, but I'm not built for running the field back and forth, dude. I'm built for playing half the field, which is what I've done forever. And I hated every second of it. I wanted to die.
Yeah, I used to get on him last year. I'm like, man, you got to hustle up. Until I went out there, you know, with one of his practices, and I'm trying keeping up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, one time back and forth in this field, I'm done. So I'm like, I get it now.
That's what I liked about it, Zach, because I was built like I am now, just more athletic, and I could go for the ground ball, and I was usually the same size or bigger than the long sticks going for the ground ball, and they would just try to bury me, and just standing 18 inches off the ground, it's kind of hard to knock me over.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. I wish it was, it's starting to get more popular, I guess, but I wish I would have known about it back when I was in high school, because I would have loved to play that. The first game I went to, I was just like, oh, this is cool.
It is steadily becoming more and more popular, so I'm just fingers crossed there'll be a program in Elmont for my boys, but I'm not getting my hopes up. This is pretty boonies.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Romeo's got one, right?
Yeah, that's where I played.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you think, we're not that far north of Romeo. You think, you know, even if they had nothing around here, you know, they could jump into their league if they started branching out.
Yeah, I don't know what the outcome will be, but Romeo's got...
that hole again. I got you, but you're pretty scratchy.
No, I was just going through town. I really gotta hook up with Sean and figure out what I gotta do at my house to get coverage in this area.
Did you ever get that Raspberry Pi figured out? Or flashed, or still having issues with it?
I've worked on that 3 different times and never get it to work right. Got the HDMI cable. A lot of it's probably laziness, like I don't feel like this connecting. No, that's not true, because I did plug it in but I've tried different SD cards, I've tried different, I've warrantied the first Raspberry Pi or replaced it on Amazon. Both of them did the same thing. When I plug it into one of my switches, it blocks it because of the storm. So,
you're going to be back home.